Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, again, to our second segment here on Circles of Change at the Tucson Festival of Books in Tucson, Arizona. It's a real pleasure to welcome Bob Sharp, a new author. Congratulations on your book, Bob.
Well, thank you very much.
That's great. Are you got your right hand exercising and ready to sign?
I do. Thanks.
Excellent. Just great. Well, let me introduce Bob. He was born and raised in a three-generation Arizona ranching family. Now a landscape designer and analyst, Bob is an advocate for responsible, effective land stewardship. And his new book is debuting today at the festival. It's called Eight Valleys, A Linked Landscape, of course, published by Ted Larson, who we just heard from Night Horses. Set amidst a backdrop of spectacular photographs that Bob took of the people, places, and spaces of southern Arizona, Bob and several voices of the valleys that he'll share with us show readers how throughout the American West, poorly planned subdivisions and ex-urban sprawl are threatening the integrity of ecological, social, and economic systems. And today, much of the rural West finds itself, frankly, at a crossroads, transitioning from a traditional agrarian culture and economy to a countryside not yet fully characterized. It's a landscape recovering from the traditional past and transforming itself to something new. With more than 50 years of practical experience as a rancher and a master's degree in landscape architecture, Bob offers a very unique perspective to the conversation seeking to find solutions to the aimless expansion of exurban sprawl in the West. Designing new towns based on traditional and innovative settlement patterns, along with cluster developments, may replace large lot development and help build the foundation for a new ruralism, as he calls it. So you're now going to hear how he favors perpetuating tradition with an appropriate growth and promoting co-enhancement between people and nature to create interconnected, linked landscapes. I really like that subtitle, A Linked Landscape.
Thank you. A linked landscape actually was a term coined by Randall Arendt, a land planner who lives back east. And it's very appropriate for the southern part of the state because these eight valleys, they are all linked. They start off with the Altar Valley on the western side next to the Tohono O'odham Reservation. And as they go eastward, you've got the Upper Santa Cruz River Valley, the San Rafael Valley to the south, the Empire Cienega Valley, and we go into the San Pedro, the Sulphur Springs, and the San Bernardino and the San Simon. They're all linked, meaning that they're all contained within the Gila River watershed, the southern part of it. But more importantly even than that is that they're linked by one key element, which is the border zone. And the
right.
Border zone brings in a culture that was very unique, a lot of Hispanic culture. And it's unique in that aspect. It's got the same common topography, basin and range type topography, and a common rural culture of ranching and farming. And in addition to that, another key link is that of open space. In the southern part of Arizona, the open space is dramatic. Mm-hmm. And to me, it symbolizes, from a landscape architecture point of view, an element of freedom.
Freedom, yeah.
And when we build in these landscapes out here, say it's a building or a house, they stand out in these landscapes and they detract from the actual aesthetics in the landscapes themselves.
Well, the other part of that linked standpoint, you know, you made reference to those words, is it's the culture too. I mean, the influence from our humanity south of the border also has embedded itself even within the whole concept of a ranching family. I mean, we mentioned your third generation ranching family, so brothers, sisters, marriages, and so on. So just interconnected in that part of the world.
Yes. The ranching culture extends on both sides of the border. In Sonora, it's been there for years and years. And these valley systems, as they go down from Arizona into Mexico, that's what unites them. And, you know, prior 10, 15 years ago, it was wonderful walking along the border fence and meeting your the rancher who works on the other side of the line, and we would crisscross our cattle back and forth, and it just added to our lives because we got to live two cultures at the same time.
And just as much about potentially the crossing of your cattle across these eight valleys as well.
To a certain extent, yes. Out. And it's a commonality between all of the valleys. And what it does is it forms a very authentic community, because even though the ranchers are separated by miles of space, they're involved in the same industry, the same business, and they understand one another very well. So it's not a contrived community. On the contrary, it's very real.
That's right. We, of course, had the pleasure of having Ted Larson precede you on the show, so he talked a little bit about the discovery of you and your book. I'm intrigued by the fact that you walked in with Ted with a manuscript, and later the two of you realized the coupling of your photography. So perhaps talk about that experience.
Well, the whole experience meeting Ted and yourself, Zara, was absolutely wonderful. What I enjoy most working with Ted is, again, there's a real community that he has formed. And I was looking for a publisher that I could work with and create and express my ideas in my own way. And this is what Night Horses has enabled me to do. And it's been just a wonderful experience. Not only has all of the work and the publishing been done at the local level, that's the key point. At the local level, with John Davis and Carol Albee, all of the people that I worked with, the whole team at Night Horses is right here in southern Arizona. And as a result, I've formed another community here in the middle of town.
Don't you love it?
I do love it.
You do. Well, we're happy to have you part of that. Also in your book, of course, you've included the essays or contributions from friends of yours you call the Voices of the Valley. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about them.
I included the Voices of the Valley because I feel that on this particular landscape, as it changes and evolves and grows, and landscapes continually change, as they grow, I think the most important thing is for those people who live on the land to guide that process of change and to guide that growth. No one else knows the land or the landscapes better than those that work and live on it. You know, there's been a tremendous cycle of change when you're talking about change from the mid-1970s up until 2008. So that's a period of about 30, 40 years. And during that time span, many ranches have been subdivided and broken up. And as a result, the environment has suffered badly. These landscapes have been fragmented, and the ecological systems no longer run as smoothly as they once did.
So this is some stress on the water systems and...
Exactly, Zara. Yeah, the man's effect has brought about the biggest change. And that's where these people on the ground who willingly gave their time to contribute essays to this book are absolutely invaluable. And I think we need to listen to them because they are our real teachers.
Mm-hmm. And can you spotlight one of them for us, the points they'd like to drive home?
Dennis Maroney in the San Pedro Valley has done an absolutely incredible job describing where he lives in the Sulphur Springs Valley. Mm-hmm. And his essay is extremely comprehensive, and that's the other aspect that I love about ranchers, and that their mindset is one of holism, mm-hmm. and they can grasp all of the different facets that these landscapes are composed of.
And I would suspect, too, though, communicated in very simple terms, that even those of us who haven't had the pleasure of being there can relate to it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. The now to the piece of your photography. You've got pictures of everything from, you know, the cowboy's hand on the saddle horn to the sweeping landscapes and vistas. You enjoy all those different forms of medium and pictures to take?
I do. I've been taking pictures for all of my life. It was just a natural skill that I had when I was a young boy, and I've kept it all these years. Recently, my main theme is to capture the essence of people and place, and that's what I've tried to do on these photographs. I've tried to capture what I consider to be true ranching, the real ranching as it exists in these eight valleys. There's nothing contrived. There's not too much about the rodeo aspect at all. It's more about, once again, people working and living with the land and how they relate to it.
Our comment earlier about water, of course, the inset photograph that's going to be on the hardbound copy, we have it in front of us. It's of this spectacular view of a windmill. If I understand correctly, it took you like 5 days to set up that particular photograph, didn't it?
That's the advantage of living out in the landscapes as a photographer, because you learn to understand the seasons and the changes so well. On that particular shot, it was just several hundred yards away from the old headquarters of the San Rafael, where I lived for many years, and I watched the sunset change over several days, and I knew that it would come one more time, so I was able to set up the camera in expectation that the light would be beautiful, and on that particular shot, it was.
It was. So, Bob, your book, we're talking again with Bob Sharp, and his book is The Eight Valleys, A Linked Landscape, debuting here today at the Tucson Festival of Books. It's available, by the way, at booth 458 in both hard copy and perfect bound format, as well as on nighthorses.com. Bob, your book, the purpose of writing it, is it both to leave a legacy as well as to inspire action and advocacy? Do I understand that?
You know, in the early 1900s, there was a photographer who photographed steel men building skyscrapers in New York City, and I'm sure you've seen those well-known photographs. His name was Lewis H. Hind, and he had two objectives that he wanted to accomplish through his photographic work. And one was, in his mind, he wanted to point out those things that needed to be changed or corrected and those things that needed to be appreciated. So in the Eight Valley system, several things need to be corrected. One of those, in my mind, is zoning. If we could go more towards form-based zoning, so that when developers come down to these landscapes, they have an idea of what the residents want and how those landscapes should be developed. That would be helpful. And the second aspect is regarding appreciation. The valleys themselves, I think, need to be more appreciated by the urban people here in Tucson. There's a urban-rural disconnect, and they're so beautiful, they need to be appreciated in and of themselves. And also, those people, especially that work in the watershed groups in each of these valley systems, need to be appreciated, because the watershed groups by themselves have undertaken a tremendous amount of work in guiding the future change of these valleys.
And, of course, that change we're talking about could evolve over 20 to 50 years as
well. Certainly, yeah.
Which in this society of, you know, at least from a business perspective, of looking at your quarter-over-quarter profits,
exactly.
There seems to be a juxtaposition or a real confluence here to ordinarily how we all think.
Exactly.
Or at least in a certain sector of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, you're going to be starting to sign those books and sell them and distribute them, of course. And any predictions of the future? Do you see hope to see your book get picked up by landscape and conservation type programs? Do you see it as a collector's edition because of the photography? Where do you think it's going to go?
All of those. I hope it really does have a major impact once again on how these valleys grow. That was my motivation for writing it. It's such a beautiful segment in southern Arizona. And, you know, in the future, the next cycle of growth, the next big change will be what many refer to as the Sun Corridor, stretching from Prescott through Phoenix, through Casa Grande, and ending up in Sierra Vista, Nogales. And as we fill in that huge swath of land, we have a choice on either to develop in a beautiful way or in a way that doesn't do a very good job.
I know when I was reading the early edition of your book, I was struck with the real turn a la man to the right that was taken when, back in the Udall days, the decision was made instead of going with four communities the size of Yuma, that again, this epicenter of Phoenix and Tucson in a smaller sense evolved, and how different the state would look like had it gone in that direction of smaller developed areas.
Yes, Moshe Udall changed his mind towards the end of his life, and he realized that he had made a big mistake in insisting that the CAP canal be built. By bringing all that water down here to Tucson, we no longer depend on our own river system, the Santa Cruz River. Instead, it's water that is brought from whatever it is, several hundred miles north. And he suggested the idea that several smaller communities be scattered along the Colorado River where the water actually was. And it's just it's a concept of common sense and the way we should grow.
Well, it's also linked in with a lot of the popular discussions starting to reemerge, I think, in architecture and landscape programs on sustainability and environmental perspectives.
Yes, sustainability is a recent topic with the design professions. It's I think we need to go actually beyond that term. It's kind of a buzzword now. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we can learn from ranchers, and that they continually try to go beyond sustainability, and that they want to improve their land. And they improve their land through different grazing techniques and by collecting water in their water courses. And so I think we need to enhance our landscapes, whether it's urban or rural, and go beyond the notion of sustainability, which just means let's keep on in maintenance mode. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do better than that.
And make it even better. Well, you know, you started out with your early comment that the valleys, with the incredible space, that this is about freedom. So that's also what you're talking about, the ranchers, that their approaches to improving the land is such a strong component of natural and an evolution of.
Yes. You know, the father of landscape architecture, Frederick Olmsted, in many of his parks, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, even in Central Park in New York City, he was always aware of open space and how it related to the concept of freedom. And the ranchers are really, you know, the last of the free mentality, and it's reflected in the landscape and their freedom of thought.
Mm-hmm. So tell me some of your most fond memories of all those years of your growing up and working the ranch.
Well, I was very, very fortunate as a boy. My father, in the late 40s and the early 50s, was general manager of the Green Cattle Company, which was headquartered down in Cananea, Sonora, Mexico. And when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, I traveled with him to ranches that the Green Cattle Company owned up in Sligman, the northern part of Arizona, down to San Rafael, south of Patagonia, the Palominas, south of Sierra Vista, and down to Cananea. So there was a wide swath of land throughout that area that I came to love as a boy. And I always think of it as mi tierra, or as they say in Spanish, my home or my homeland.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so the opportunity to offer this book now is a contribution to honor that homeland, but also wake up others to appreciate it as well.
Exactly right, Sarah. Exactly right.
That's right. Well, I know we've had some interesting conversations, Bob, of even how I mentioned earlier, and Ted did as well, that the book started as a manuscript and now is also a manuscript with your photography. Like any author who, I'll say, though you men wouldn't use this term possibly, that you've been pregnant with this book and now you're about to give birth, is where do you think this new child is going to take you personally?
I'd like to continue on this line of work. I enjoy photography so much. I'm not sure the next project, what it'll lead to. I'm thinking maybe of looking at the small towns in southern Arizona and document their history and suggest ways in which they may grow in a better way that would suit the state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. You mentioned the key role of the watershed groups. And how is it that you'd like those next steps for them to be taken so they could be mindful of the very things your book mentions?
You know, over the past 30 years, once again since the mid-70s, early 80s, the people living within these watershed groups have done, and various federal agencies and environmental organizations have done a tremendous job in preserving large tracts of land within these landscapes. I think the next evolutionary step is to learn how to create better communities within the landscapes. How can we integrate humans within the natural world in a way that not only enhances human life, but again enhances the natural world?
So an example would be a more, you know, small, modest Main Street with sections for schools and religious gatherings and so on. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Our large lot development and exurban sprawl, we need to replace that with something new, new innovative projects. And one idea may be a series of connected villages in these valleys so that the open space between them is honored.
Isn't that lovely? That's very good. Well, Bob Sharp, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations again. The book we've been talking about is The Eight Valleys, A Linked Landscape, and Bob is here at the festival for the next 2 days. You can visit with him and get a copy of his book. It's booth 458 right across from the Sonnet Science Center. Bob also is going to be speaking at the Friends of Western Art event, which will be April 3rd at the Mountain Oyster Club. You can contact www.friendsofwesternart.org to learn about that speaking engagement. And I suspect you'll go where anyone would call, right?
Certainly.
Absolutely. So you can contact Bob through nighthorses.com, nighthorses.com. So, Bob, congratulations. We'll look forward to watching your journey on the sake of the changes and evolutions in your own career, having been a rancher, now in landscape design analysis, and also your photography. So congratulations again.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.